What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Game 3, World Series tonight. Rays and Dodgers, even at 1. We'll have that for you right here. ESPN 102.5 The Game. That's presented by Gary Forrest Acura. First pitch just past 7 o'clock tonight. So if you're looking for the World Series, ESPN 102.5 The Game is your place. We'll see who will take a 2-1 lead in that big series, the last series of the Major League Baseball season. And once again, that's presented by Gary Force Acura. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase. Should have Taylor Zarzar here in just a moment calling in, talking to us about this weekend's actions. We had silly underdog picks yesterday, so we made our selections. Going to be the biggest college football weekend to this point, right? Because the Big Ten,
they're back.
It's cranked up. And Illinois and Wisconsin are tonight at 7 o'clock on the Big Ten Network.
Got the Mountain West.
Mountain West is getting back cranked up again. So,
It's going to be great.
More college. And the SEC, ironically, has their lightest schedule to date this weekend.
Yep. Yeah, so that's going to be fun. We do have Taylor on with us.
We do have Taylor. Okay, well, let's go to Taylor.
Bring him on.
Taylor Zarzar is on the line with us. He's usually got a game of the week on SEC Network, and he's with ESPN. Taylor, how you doing?
I'm great. And because of what you just said, I'm going to put my feet up at home and watch those 4 games this weekend and get ready for Arkansas and A&M next Saturday night. So another bye week here in the Zarzar house.
Well, you've been at it every week, so – What do you do on a week, like you said, kick back, watch, but what are you looking for what you do in having a weekend off in the middle of the college football season, and then you're going to get cranked back up after this weekend? What are you looking for when you're flipping around this weekend?
Well, first, what I'm doing is trying to improve my short game. I want to go back to what you guys were saying at the start, and that is I'm going to be fascinated to see what the Big Ten looks like starting a season this late in late October. We've seen poor tackling all across college football, in large part because of limited contact, limited interaction, and positive COVID tests. Defenses have been struggling mightily all across college football, and we've seen a bunch of upsets, not only in the SEC, but across the country. And I'm just wondering, I'm actually expecting that's going to happen in the Big Ten, especially early in the season. So, you know, if an Indiana knocks off number 8 Penn State, or if number 21 Minnesota beats Harbaugh tomorrow night, I wouldn't be that surprised by it. I mean, I think I'd be pretty surprised if Nebraska beats Ohio State, who I think might be the best team in the country once they get to full strength. But everything else, it wouldn't surprise me if we get an upset this weekend in the Big Ten, and I think we're still going to see some of those types of upsets in the SEC, even though we're 4 or 5 weeks in.
Well, you're right about that, and I did ask. We had Paul Feinbaum on yesterday, and I literally asked him, so what's the Big Ten going to look like, and stated some of the things that you said. We've seen, you know, we remember that first game, Navy, this year, right? We're so used to Navy being responsible. I mean, they just get plowed by BYU in the game. It looked like who is that team? And we've just, like you said, the upsets and the tackling, the defense seems to be way behind. And so let's go back to, and I do agree with you, I think Ohio State on paper, they are clearly a playoff team. And let's just say they play out, right? They are loaded with talent. I think it's pretty clear to say Clemson is going to be there. If Ohio State plays out on paper and it plays out on Saturdays, they're there. It looks like Alabama's probably going to represent the SEC. Do you have any idea, as we sit here today, who in the heck the fourth team would be?
Yeah, that's a great question. I wonder if it's going to be a team that has a significant flaw or a significant blemish, I guess, like a Georgia this past weekend, if we're going to find the second best team in either the SEC or the Big Ten to round out that top four. I don't think the Big 12, I know Oklahoma State's still undefeated. I think they're just all but eliminated. I would be more inclined to look at a group of five team because of what we just referenced and because I think the playing field is more leveled because of the lack of practice time than it's ever been before. I would be more inclined to look at a BYU who looks sensational with a great quarterback or whoever wins the Cincinnati SMU game tomorrow night, if that team went undefeated, I'd be more inclined because of the level playing field, but I don't think they have a chance if they stay at four because neither one of those teams is playing any Power Five opponents due to the conference only schedule. So, you know, you're going to look at BYU's resume and you're going to say, oh, well, they beat Boise State or they beat Houston, but they're not going to have anything that comes anywhere close to a Power Five schedule. And that's completely unfair because they didn't have a chance to play those games. So I think that's the biggest question that we'll be asking if it continues to play out the way we expect. And if it does, then we're going to say, all right, well, Georgia lost by 17 to Alabama, but we think they have the fourth most talent in the country, so you're in. And that, you know, we're going to have plenty of debate about that if that happens.
No doubt about it. So Kentucky's had two really impressive wins back-to-back weeks. They held Mississippi State without an offensive touchdown, which is the first time a Mike Leach coached team has ever played a game and not had an offensive touchdown. They followed up by going to a place they hadn't won since 1984, and they beat Tennessee handily. And their defense is very opportunistic, as we know. So can they follow up? One, tell me what you think about this Kentucky team. And two, is it this is the tricky game, right? This is the minute you fall in love and you start talking about them and you get excited, then, you know, they could go to Missouri and easily lose this weekend. What do you think?
No question. In fact, I did this game 2 years ago, and they were dreadful in the first half. And Terry Wilson got benched because of how poorly he played in that game before they had this remarkable comeback that they won as time expired.
I still don't know how they pulled that off. That was one of the more miraculous finishes to win a game.
It really was. It was crazy, and Bowden had that punt return, and then Conrad catches that touchdown pass, time expired. Missouri didn't have a first down in the second half of that game, which is crazy. I don't think Kentucky's nearly as good defensively this year. They don't have a Josh Allen. They don't have the pass rush that they typically have. Their secondary has some questions, even though they had a couple of pick sixes last week. I think Garantano telegraphed those passes, but I think that they could go lay an egg because Terry Wilson still was inconsistent in the passing game, and given the injuries they have in the backfield, they're not going to have as much depth running the football as they had at the beginning of the season. Having said that, I love their offensive line, and they really should be 4-0 right now. They blew the Ole Miss game. They turned it over left and right against Auburn. This is a team that we could be talking about right now going into next week's Georgia game as one of the teams that has a chance to get to Atlanta. Instead, they've shot themselves in the foot. And sure, they could do that again against Missouri tomorrow. Missouri's had rest now for a couple of weeks. Bazelak is clearly their quarterback after what he did against LSU. So I think kind of like Ole Miss moved the ball against Kentucky, I wouldn't be surprised if Mizzou has some similar success offensively. But I think like most games we're watching this year, which is kind of crazy to say in what we've grown up watching in the SEC, I think it's going to be a high-scoring game.
We're talking to Taylor Zarzur from ESPN. You can see him calling SEC games. And, Taylor, I just want to say I've really enjoyed your commentary. You've done an excellent job on your games. I know you've got a background here in Nashville, and I think people need to know that you're doing an excellent job out there.
Well, I really appreciate that. Long ago, your colleagues on this show, I would watch them do pregame Predator talk shows. So I learned a lot of lessons from those guys, and I miss being in Nashville. I really do. It's a great spot. And I think, you know, the team that has been most impacted in the entire Power Five by all of this is Vanderbilt. And I know that, you know, there weren't high expectations to begin with the season, and they were, I'm sure, be picked to be at the bottom of the conference. But just given all the COVID issues that they're going through right now, I mean, guys, when they do get back on the football field, I don't know how they're going to be competitive against anyone the rest of the season. It's just a mess right now.
It is going to be a challenge for sure. So, Taylor, I know you called Tennessee earlier in the year. You had their opener against South Carolina. Yep. As you can imagine, we've had all kinds of pretty emotional discussion based on what's happened the last couple of weeks to them. So give me your thought, just from where you sit, because we know that there's going to be a certain percentage of people that just rise and fall with the last game played. But in the big picture, where do you think they are right now?
I think they're an improved team that has better talent than they've had the last couple of years. Going into the season, I thought that they had a chance to win 7 games, to be about a 7-3 team. 7-3 in a conference-only season, I mean, is, to me, about top 15 in the country. And they still have an opportunity to do that. I thought that they would win the Kentucky game instead of stubbing their toe the way that they did last week. The problem is Jarrett Garantano is just too inconsistent of a performer. He comes back from the dead a million times, comes off the bench and rallies the team left and right like he did last year, but he doesn't play. He just can't consistently play within himself, and because of that, he costs his team games, and we saw it last weekend. And so I think that we have to reevaluate the hopes of a 7-type win season and think that they're going to be more of a 5 or 6 win team. And if they had a non-conference schedule to go with that, then I think we would be looking at an 8-4, 9-4 type team this year. And we'd say, okay, we're seeing some more growth. They're clearly better at the line of scrimmage. Offensively, I should say. They're much better at the line of scrimmage than they've been the last couple of years. But Jeremy Pruitt is obviously a no-nonsense guy that is going to do it his way. Tyson Helton, who was the offense coordinator there a couple of years ago, is now at Western Kentucky, said, I have never in my life seen a head coach every position group the way that this guy does. And the best example of that is what he did to Jimmy Brimbaugh during the game last Saturday. It's taken some time to go from a Butch Jones philosophy to a Jeremy Pruitt philosophy. I don't know two head coaches in the world that have less in common than those guys. And I think that these are just some big-time growing pains that the program is going through. But there are going to be some wild swings of emotion with Jeremy Pruitt's team. But I still think, given the way that he's recruiting, once he builds this team in his image, they're going to be one of the teams to beat in the SEC East. I think it's just taking probably a little bit longer than Tennessee fans would want, especially given what they've experienced in the last decade. So I know it's a long way of saying that it's kind of a mixed bag, but I do think once the season's over, you're going to see about a 6-4 type Tennessee team.
Talking to Taylor Zarzer of the SEC Network and ESPN, and I know you've seen both the teams that I'm going to bring up, and we knew when Lane Kiffin got the job at Ole Miss that he's an offensive mind. He was going to make that offense better. They have some talent. It's just how would he be able to use it? And so far, I feel like we've seen a pretty fun offense. They need some work on defense, but what have you seen through your eyes when you've called some of their games? Yeah. How long do you think the process will be for Lane to get Ole Miss back into a contention in the West?
So I called their only win in that crazy game against Kentucky that went to overtime. And I thought before the Arkansas game last week that Matt Corral was, if you wanted to name 3 quarterbacks that were playing the best in all of college football, I would put him on that list. I mean, he was so good in the first 3 games of the season against stiff competition. And then last week, 6 interceptions, almost all of which were telegraphed. You got a couple that are being picked off by a guy that has one arm that he can use. It was just head-scratching, some of the decision-making that we saw from Corral last week. Having said that, I still think that you're going to see a high-powered Ole Miss offense throughout the season that's going to be really fun to watch. The night before I called that game, Lane and I had this Zoom call, and I said, I know that this is the most basic question anybody could ask you, but I'm truly wondering, in your mind, what's the most important thing you want to accomplish this year at Ole Miss? And he said, I couldn't care less how many games we win. That doesn't matter. We have to build a program. It's going to take some time to do that. And this was right after the Florida game. He said if we would have lost that game 24-10 or 21-10 or something like that, no one would have remembered anything that Ole Miss did. They would have just said, one of the best teams in the country, Florida, beats Ole Miss, and they wouldn't have said a word about us. Instead, we lose by a couple of touchdowns, and we put up 600 total yards, and people say, holy cow, look how fun Lane Kiffin's offense is. And Lane said, it's been an unbelievable week of recruiting, almost like it felt when I was the offensive coordinator at Alabama with people beating down our door saying, I want to come be part of this. This is fun. So that's what I expect this year from Ole Miss. Even if they finish with a losing record at the end of the season, I think we're going to say, good grief. Lane Kiffin is going to do some damage. He's going to have this Oregon-type identity at Ole Miss, and he's going to make things really fun, and people are going to want to be part of that offense. It's going to take years, though, to build a defense. There's a lot of junior college talent in the state of Mississippi. I think he's going to have to go after a bunch of that this offseason if he wants to find any kind of way to get off the field in 2021. But I think that offense is going to be a whole lot of fun to watch.
I think how he answered that question is fascinating. And do you believe that he would have given you the same answer had you asked him that 10 years ago or more when he was at Tennessee or USC? Because I think going through what he did and going to Alabama might have helped him in that department.
There's no question it did. Yeah, and I think the confidence that he gained at Florida Atlantic by being a head coach again proved to him that this type of philosophy is going to work, and it made him more confident. You know the biggest question with Lane, and that is, can he behave and stay out of trouble Sunday through Friday?
Right.
And if he can do that, I know how much fun he has on Twitter. The guy really isn't like the center of attention when he's in a room. Like he's kind of a mild-mannered guy when you're just talking to him. He's not, braggadocious, and he doesn't light up the room. He does go crazy on Twitter, but if he can behave himself and stay out of controversy Sunday through Friday, this guy is truly one of the best play callers in all of football, and I think Ole Miss is going to benefit from that significantly. If things are a little bit boring, unless it's game day.
And then the other team I wanted to ask you about real quick, because I've brought this up with every SEC guest we've had this week, the Gus Bus, Auburn. It seems like every year there's something where is he going to make it? They don't look great right now. And Paul Feinbaum, your colleague, said, I mean, even though they're 2-2. Really, they're 1-3 because of the Arkansas game. They won that game, but it was with controversy. So, what do you think about Auburn and what's going on? And can they turn this around?
Yeah, I mean, having called that game, that given what happened at the end, and I think clearly you could hear in my voice the shock that I had when that snap happened. But you also look at the Kentucky game; they were outgained in every way in that game. It's just Kentucky turned it over three times. They absolutely could have lost that game. So, I would say that Auburn's closer to 0-4 than they are to 2-2. I'm not excusing anything, but I would say this: look, Derrick Brown, one of the best defensive tackles I've ever seen in the SEC. You lose Marlon Davidson. Big Cat Bryant isn't healthy; isn't been playing much. So their defensive line has lost a tremendous amount of talent. They've got injuries to their biggest leader on the team as their linebacker. They've got injuries in the secondary. They've had a rash of injuries at tailback and at receiver. That's a lot to overcome given the current set of circumstances. But having said that, I think that Chad Morris, the offensive coordinator, Gus Malzahn, the head coach, and Bo Nix, the quarterback, are really trying to force an offense on a team that can't run this type of philosophy. They do not have the speed and the athletic ability and the offensive line in front of them to run this high-powered, fast-paced offense. What happens is they lose a ton of yardage on first down, they get behind the chains, and then they're off the field in 10 seconds. And that there's just nothing more crippling to a defense that has had so much turnover than what they're trying to do offensively. I think they've got to dial it down and simplify their offense if they want to be more effective in these games. And you know, that's not Gus's calling card. He's a stubborn guy that wants to run, you know, this zone read, very fast-paced offense, and Chad Morris wants to put all of this eye candy out on the field. And so far this season, it is not working. So I'm fascinated by this game tomorrow at Ole Miss, because if Ole Miss and Corral gets right tomorrow and they win the game significantly, it's going to get toxic on the plains with Gus Malzahn. And he has this exorbitant buyout, and you just wonder what ultimately is going to happen with a fan base that is tired of all the ups and downs.
They'll never find a donor or donors to foot the $21 million bill. That just never happens in big programs. They'll just never, you know, they'll just have to eat it. They'll just have to sit with Gus till, you know, his contract plays out. Oh, wait a minute. We see that happen all the time. Hey, really appreciate, by the way, gambling is coming to Tennessee. And if you bet the over on the wins for Arkansas, you've already cashed in a ticket, because they are already way better than anybody thought they would be this season. So enjoy that game next week. Thanks for the visit.
Absolutely, guys. Always enjoy it. Thanks.
All right. That is Taylor Zarzar with SEC Network and ESPN, and we do appreciate him joining us. At the bottom of the hour, Samari Roll. We'll talk about the Titans and the Steelers, what that matchup. You heard Jeff Fisher on this show this week. Him light up when you bring up Pittsburgh week. Does Samari Roll feel the same way? Does still feel that way, even though he's been out of the game for a bit? When you say Pittsburgh week, do you still get up for that? He's got experience both here and with the Ravens dealing with Pittsburgh week twice a week. We'll come back. We'll talk to Samari Roll next on Darren Donica Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.